Before self-driving cars can take over the world, they'll have to take over our neighborhoods. And that means potentially big changes for city streets, mass transit systems, and seniors, the disabled, and other vulnerable populations. The need to plan for a multimodal future, including autonomous vehicles, will be the focus at the McLean County Regional Planning Commission's 14th Annual Community Information Forum. GLT's Ryan Denham speaks with keynote speaker Carla Bailo, the president and CEO of the Center for Automotive Research.
You know, when we look at the combination of the issues with traffic fatalities, the number of accidents, the number of near misses, combined with the congestion that we're seeing in our urban areas, it really has made everyone more cognizant that we really need to fix a lot of the problems. On the safety side, we have, you know, the number of accidents has continued to go up every single year, with 95% of those being caused by human error. And so that indicates that if we can remove the human error part of the equation, we should be able to improve safety tremendously. In addition to that, if you have a computer-operated device, you'll be able to narrow the lanes and have vehicles travel much more closely together. And that alone should give us about 400% more throughput to help with the congestion on the roadways. So I think it's a combination of the congestion, the accidents and safety on the roadways, plus the technology that has been put into the cars just for advanced driver avoidance systems, et cetera, being able to use more reliably the cameras, the sonars, the LiDAR, that all of this is coming together now to really create an environment where autonomy is, you know, not only possible but being desired.
And how quickly do you see this taking that next step? And how far in the future will it be before we routinely see level 3, level 4, level 5 automation in vehicles? We should also say that level 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 are basically the different levels of autonomy that you can have. So level 3 is sort of a mix of the car drives itself and you got to pay attention. Level 5 is the car does everything. You can, you know, take a nice long nap.
Well, the interesting thing is you've got level 2 out there now with some companies, with, you know, the Tesla ProPilot system, Cadillac Cruise, et cetera. The advanced driver avoidance systems are really coming down into all your mainstream vehicles. Level 3 is really going to be the most difficult of all the levels in my mind, because level 3 requires vehicles to be, for the drivers of the vehicle to remain alert when the vehicle is driving itself, and then for them to be able to take over at any moment to be able to handle an emergency or something that's changing in the environment around the vehicle. And our data is showing that waking up part, depending how distracted they are, and if they're sleeping, it doesn't even matter, takes between 7 and 40 seconds. So there are people who wonder if we will ever be able to do level 3 well. And, of course, many of the companies working on Level 3, which Google said, we're not even going to do Level 3. Waymo said, we're out of Level 3. We're going straight to Level 4 and 5. They basically are saying, well, the cars, if we realize nobody's paying attention or the driver's sleeping, we're just going to have it park itself. But, I mean, how many cars conceptually can just park themselves before we create another, you know, unforeseen consequence? So we always have to look at that. Now, level 4, which is autonomous in a geofenced area, meaning a specific designated place that only autonomous vehicles will be allowed in, that's going to happen in the early 2020s, because that's something that you can manage well. Computers talking to computers, talking to the Internet of Things, talking to street signs, talking to traffic signals, and hopefully eventually talking to pedestrians, bicyclists, and other vulnerable road users to create this ecosystem of safety and communication. That is one of the more reliable systems. So what you've seen now is a number of shuttles that have started on fixed routes. For example, the shuttles in Las Vegas, the May Mobility Project in Detroit, or May Mobility in Columbus. All of those are on fixed routes. You know, the vehicle knows what it's supposed to do. The customer knows what to expect. When you talk about level 5, which basically a vehicle can go anywhere it wants to go, without, you know, any concern or any bounds. We don't see that until the 2040s.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. I'm speaking with Carla Bailo, President and CEO of the Center for Automotive Research. She'll be the keynote speaker April 10th at the McLean County Regional Planning Commission's 14th Community Information Forum in Bloomington. What about driver acceptance? I mean, I saw a recent survey from AAA showing there's been, you know, virtually no increase in public acceptance, even as automakers and tech giants are pouring a lot of money into this technology. What's your read on driver acceptance and how quickly that may change or flip in a positive direction?
From a customer trust, we saw a huge leap in consumer trust between 2017 and 2018. And now with some of the issues that have happened on the roadways, some people are becoming more hesitant. But I think it depends what you ask them, and it depends their demographic. We have a lot of senior citizens. That's one of our fastest growing populations, the 65 plus. And the latest data from AARP shows that they're going to have 10 years of their life without the ability to drive. That's a long time. And they're really going to need solutions to be able to maintain personal relationships, be independent, you know, really keep their physical and cognitive health at the levels that it should be. There's nothing worse than isolating a senior in terms of their health. That, you know, that often causes physical issues and they pass away shortly thereafter. So I think we have to be careful about who we're asking the question to. And especially if we look also at areas of urban congestion and areas where younger folks are beginning to flock, and not just here in the States, but globally, most of them don't want a car. They want to be able to have a multimodal situation, and we need to design our cities to accommodate that.
Well, let's get into that. That is sort of the topic at hand as you come to visit Bloomington. What can municipalities do, municipalities, even mid-sized ones like Bloomington and Normal and others here in Illinois, what can they do to start thinking about creating, you know, creating their streets and creating our communities in a way that can accommodate this kind of multimodal world, including autonomous vehicles?
You have to really start looking at where do you have the problems that you want to solve on your roadways. Is it an issue of getting people to work? Is it an issue of getting certain parts of your population or your city to health care? You know, do you have an infant mortality problem? Do you have a senior live-in-place problem? What are the problems that you're seeking to solve? And then once you define what those problems are, then you can start looking at the multitude of solutions. If it's just a congestion problem and you're looking at the world of autonomy and thinking about the value of curb space, thinking about parking, and if you eliminate all the parking that you have, what that could do for your city to open up green spaces or congregation areas to make the city a very livable, kind of clean city. Thinking about that, and then when you think about that, then you get into the exact urban planning, and quite frankly, we need to turn urban planning upside down. What we teach urban planning today is to design everything around roads and parking lots. You know, if you build a mall, you have to have X number of parking spaces. You want a restaurant, X number of parking spaces. And in tomorrow's world, that kind of building code and that kind of strategy makes no sense. Think about what you want your city to be like, the vibrant city, where you want to have your parks, where you want to have areas of shopping, where you want to have areas of dining or and then areas of sports complexes. And then consider the multitudes of ways you can get people around.
How does something like autonomous vehicles and the technology that's coming, how could that impact mass transit and how should communities like ours think about that issue moving forward?
Let's take New York City for an example. Since ride-sharing and ride-hailing services have started, their ridership on the subway has gone down, and the congestion on the roadways has gone up dramatically. It's exactly the wrong way you want to go, you know, fundamentally, and they're realizing it now that they need to do something differently. When I talk to public transit agencies, they're in fear because they think they're going to go out of business, but they have to start thinking differently, in my mind, and that means when you have a public bus service that operates, and I see it here in Ann Arbor, I saw it when I lived in Columbus, many times throughout the day those buses are virtually empty. It's only during certain peak times that you see those buses completely full. The buses don't vary their routes. They go on the same routes. They use the same size product, the same propulsed product, regardless of what their data analytics are telling them. So, you know, why don't they think about partnering with a mobility service to get people that first mile, last mile, to get them to that hub for public transit easily, and partnering with them so that they can share fares, et cetera, make it easy, a common payment system so that they can just get picked up in their neighborhood, and there can be a van or something that brings people to the main hub of the bus or the subway or whatever.
So with autonomous vehicles, it theoretically would make it easier to travel slightly longer distances. So I wonder if there's any concern, kind of big picture, about exacerbating urban sprawl, right?
Urban sprawl?
Yeah, if you make it easier for someone to live slightly further away from an urban center or where they work,
yep.
Aren't you encouraging something that, you know, modern urban planning is sort of shying away from?
That's one of those unintended consequences. Since commutes began, back when, you know, cars were first enabled and people started driving from the suburbs, most people look at an hour as the maximum. And even if they're able to do something during that commuting time, and it's, you know, 2 hours, 3 hours, it's still time away from home and time away from their family, and that's still time. So we're not sure. We have to watch what happens. I think one of the more interesting aspects is, as we begin to revitalize the cities and provide, you know, a safe, clean, desirable place to work and live, we are going to have certain populations in cities that, yes, we probably are going to displace unless we're really, really careful about how we manage urban housing and manage the jobs in that urban area.
Before I let you go, I want to ask you about Rivian. This is an electric vehicle startup that has a manufacturing plant here in Normal. Their main engineering and headquarters is up in Michigan, where you are. What have you heard about Rivian, and what are your takeaways after this first year or so of them in the public eye?
Also the fact, you know, they got $700 million from Amazon. I mean, that's indicative of the product and where they're hoping to fit into the value chain. When you look at the full-size truck market, it's really quite interesting because there are a lot of people that buy that truck because they occasionally tow something. It's not somebody who's really buying it to, it's their work truck. It's how they maintain their living. So those customers that are what I call fringe customers that really don't need a full-size truck, and or delivery services companies that see the e-commerce boom and they want to start doing more hub-and-spoke deliveries and right-sizing and right-propulsing that transit that delivers those packages the last, let's say, 10 miles. This kind of product, this electric truck, with the great torque, clean, lots of, you know, space and amenities, this is the market that they're trying to capture, and it's a market that really nobody captures well today. And we'll see. You know, they've got enough funding now from Amazon. They've got the building facility. Manufacturing is very difficult, as Tesla has shown time and time again. As long as, you know, Rivian continues to, I mean, they've got a great design. They need to have the right engineering staff. They need to make sure the manufacturing is done robustly and efficiently. I think it's one to watch. I'm really impressed with the things they're saying and the product itself.
That's Carla Balow, President and CEO of the Center for Automotive Research in Michigan. She'll be the keynote speaker April 10th at the McLean County Regional Planning Commission's 14th Community Information Forum in Bloomington. I'm Ryan Denham.
Rivian's first vehicles, an electric SUV and pickup, will be Level 3 autonomous for highway operation, meaning drivers need to pay attention but can keep their hands off the wheel.